Now, how do we do this? Well, living it, a godly husband disciples his wife as he experiences personal consecration. What is experiencing personal consecration? Let me just run through a quick list, and you can jot these down. Look at Mark chapter 8. We have 7 minutes, and I have 7 points. I'll give you 1 point for each one. Mark chapter 8 is the first one. And in your Bible, if you've never noticed this before, the first step to discipling anyone, and in the context of tonight, discipling your wife, but discipling anyone is, we have to renounce ourselves as the authority of our life. Jesus said, when he called the disciples, the people with the disciples, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself." He says, renounce yourself as the authority and focus of your life and seek me. You know what the first step in discipling is? Experiencing that facet of personal consecration. I am not going to live my life my way. Frank Sinatra can sing about it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it my way. You know what the chief sin is of everybody? If someone never committed any other sin, they would go to hell because they want to live life their way instead of God's way. All we are like sheep. We've turned to go our own direction. So Mark 8 says we need to renounce ourselves as the authority of our life. Turn back to Matthew 10. Here's another one. And these are just the steps that we studied many months back in a disciple's path to follow. But a disciple, not only and a discipler, will not only have renounced himself as the authority of their life, they will enter into a growing devotion to Christ. This is what it says in Matthew 10:37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38, he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. And we are to be building a relationship of supreme and incomparable love for Christ. A growing devotion to Christ. That's how we disciple. Do you know what is irresistible for a woman? A godly man. It's just irresistible. Do you know a woman's spiritual condition is most often a reflection of her husband? And if you want to have a wife who has radiance, be a seeker of Christ. You want to have a wife who has peacefulness instead of fearfulness and anxiety? Then experience personal consecration. Renounce yourself as the authority of life, Mark 8:34. Grow in your devotion to Christ, Matthew 10:37-39. Turn over to John. The Gospel by John, chapter 8, with me. Here's the third one. John 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed." One of the very primary, very basic, very foundational elements of a disciple is hungering for the word. We have a four-month-old in our home. That four-month-old broadcasts regularly her hunger. I mean, she lets the whole house know when she's hungry. She has an insatiable desire. And then as soon as it's satisfied, everything's great. Just goos and, you know, and wiggles. But then the horn starts. You know, this we call it the sleep horn. You know, she's hungry. And then goes to sleep. But there's a hungering for the Word. And a commitment to a regular study and devotion to God's Word is just paramount. It's just critical, and I say it all the time, but I repeat it now. Matthew 16, here's another one. If you want to flip back to the Gospel by Matthew, the fourth, it's following the way of the cross. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's an unquestioning allegiance to Christ. It's as we studied, I remember distinctly standing in the middle of the platform up there and saying that being crucified with Christ means that our hands are connected and only do what his hands do. Our feet are crucified with his. They only go where his feet go. That we are a crucified person, can't look back. They can't get down. They have no future plans. And so our plans are surrendered to the Lord as our lives are, as our direction, our goals, and crucified person can't have a crown of pride if they have a crown of thorns like Christ did. Their heart is broken for what is broken for. That's following the way of the cross. And that's Matthew 16, 24 to 27. One more in Luke, if you want to go to the Gospel by Luke real quickly. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 has another facet. And Jesus said to them, "If you desire to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost?" And Jesus, what he's talking there is about yielding our life to him and finding our worth and finding our drive in life to not be the passing pleasures that are but for a moment, but to be that which is eternal. I remember reading a testimony just last week of someone who said that, you know, you can have fame in this life, you can have wealth and success and pleasures, but one drink of the water of life is so infinitely more valuable than all those things. And yet Jesus says you can't really drink unless you yield your life to me. Well, last one. Everyone loves the last one. John 13. And then I'll just repeat all these. But John 13 has the last element of a disciple's path. John 13 and verse 34. And this is what it says. A new commandment. There are 11 commandments. Did you know that? Jesus said, "I'm giving you a new one." One time, Bishop Usher, that wrote the great chronology in the Bible, was visiting another pastor, and he was in disguise, and he came for dinner. And the pastor, and you know, they were very hospitable, and he didn't know who this traveling man was, so he invited him to dinner, and he was having devotions with his family. And he said, "How many commandments are there?" And the old man said, 11. And the pastor thought, here's a guy I'm going to have to evangelize. He doesn't know anything about the Bible. He says, "Really, there is 11? And Bishop Usher said, "Yes, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." And that's the truth. That's what it says in 34. "As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And if we live in the love of Jesus Christ, if we reflect the love of Christ in our attitudes and actions, we are experiencing personal consecration and we can disciple another. So, what's a discipler look like? Number one, they've renounced self as the authority of their life and they've taken Christ. Number two, they're growing in their devotion to Christ. No longer do they look on reading the Bible as having their devotions. They look on it as just a piece of a life that's devoted. They have offered to Christ all their devotion. Not just having devotions. They have a life of devotion to him. And that's what growing in Christ is all about. Thirdly, they hunger for the word, John 8:31. Fourthly, they follow the way of the cross with crucified hands and feet and life, Matthew 16:24 to 27. They yield their life to Christ regularly, Luke 9:23, and they live in the love of Jesus Christ. So, what's the greatest need of any wife? A consecrated husband, a man of God, a true follower of Jesus. The most irresistible man in the world to his wife is a godly man who emphasizes personal consecration to Christ. There's nothing like it in the world, and that should be the goal that each of us men have.